Welcome to the Healthy You Radio Network, radio that empowers you to heal you. This is Keisha Ewers, your network host, and I'm proud to introduce the most dynamic show on radio that's all about the health of your mind and the expansion of your consciousness. Welcome to Mind Matters Radio with meditation and Reiki master Ajayan Boris.
Ever wonder what you're really capable of? Scientists tell us we use only a fraction of our true potential. Welcome to Mind Matters, part of the Healthy You Radio Network, where we'll explore the frontiers of human growth. Find out what experts in the field of psychology, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, and science have to say that will help you to live your life to the fullest. And now your host, Ajayan Boris.
Welcome, everybody, to Mind Matters Radio. I'm Ajayan Boris, your fellow explorer of human potential. And we're here every Monday for one reason and one reason only, and that is because your mind really does matter. And we want to see if we can give you some information to heal it, to develop your mind. This week we have, I'm really happy to say, we have James O'Conn joining us again. He was on our show, maybe close to 6-8 months ago. He's written a book called The Lost Secrets of Maya Technology. It's a fantastic book. He is an author, lecturer, award-winning structural engineer, and archaeo-engineer who has been exploring and researching Mayan technology for 40 years. He's combined his talents as a forensic engineer with archaeological field survey evidence to uncover the veil over the lost technology of the Maya. And in 1995, he amazed the archaeological community with his discovery of what was really a lost landmark of Mayan engineering, the long-span Mayan bridge. It was a suspension bridge at the Mayan city of, James, can you help me with the name of that city?
Yaxchilan,
okay. And that bridge is considered to be the longest bridge in the ancient world. So, James, welcome once again to Mind Matters.
Thank you for having me back.
Okay. Well, you know, I had an ulterior motive in mind when I invited you back, and that is because I thought it would be very interesting for our listeners to have you, you know, with your knowledge of the Mayans, and their, you know, their astronomy and just all their technology, to have you kind of give a more authoritative explanation of this fuss about the end of the Mayan calendar that's coming up towards the end of next month. So I wonder if you would mind enlightening us on that. What's the big deal? What does it mean? What did it mean to the Mayans when they calculated this this point in time?
This point in time is the end of a calendar round. It's 5,126 years and 128 days, which is 1/5. They calculated the precession. That's the Earth's wobble takes 26,000 years or so, and they calculated that that time and then divided it into five periods. And the first period that they calculated is ending on December 21st of this year.
Okay.
So it's a calendar measurement. And then the next day, the new 13 Baktun, which is the measurement of time, period will start again. So it's a long story, but I can get into it about how they picked the date. And our best guess, by the way, because that is December 21st, is the Maya New Year. Like ours is another 9 or 10 days later. Every culture in the world has some kind of celebration around December 21st, which is the winter solstice. And we have Christmas. There's Rosh Hashanah. I can't name all the different holidays which different cultures have on the winter solstice, because that means, you know, spring is coming. Well, it's going to be a while. It's a while in most places because it's cold. However, our New Year starts on January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So it just happens that day is in December. But the New Year could have shifted over 10 days, and it's still been 365.25 days. And of course, you know, the 2.5 days in the year is leap year. Every 4 years, we skip a date. Anyway, mm-hmm. they chose the end on a holiday. That's really smart people would have, if you're going to pick an end. But let me tell you how they calculated that date. Then we can get into some of the evidence and traces of the date and the inscriptions on the monuments mm-hmm. and what they said.
Okay.
And we don't know how exactly they calculated this 25,800-year cycle. It's amazing because nobody calculated it exactly until modern times with optical instruments and digital tools. But the Maya somehow did it back somewhere around 300 or 400 BC.
So, James, let me interrupt just for a second so to make sure our listeners are clear on this. So it's a 25,800-year cycle and that they calculated. But are you saying this is also an actual astronomical cycle in the heavens of some sort? And if so, what is that cycle?
Absolutely. Okay. Most school children are aware that there's a wobble in the axis of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very slow wobble. Because the wobble, the axis is not straight up and down. It's like a 20-degree tilt off the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And the very slow wobble takes 25,800 years to make one complete loop. And if you're watching every night like the Maya did, they were obsessed with the stars. They were the most engrossed with their culture was the most engrossed with astronomy than any others. And they lasted 3,000 years as a complete structural, I'm talking structural in the sense of together. They were a 3,000-year civilization,
mm-hmm.
which lasted more than anybody. However, they became absolute amazing astronomers, and they calculated this, it's called precession of the Earth, when they studied the wobble.
Mm-hmm.
And they divided it into five sections, which is, as I said, 5,123 years and 128 days. And, okay, let's say you and I were two Maya, astronomers.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, well, we got the big number, and then we got the one-fifth of it, which is 5,122 years and 128 days, and we're in the middle of it, or in the end of it, or somewhere. But it's a big circle, and we're going to take one-fifth of it, so we know there's a start and there's an end. Well, they said, we can't figure out the start because it's already half started. Let's do the end. And they figured they were like halfway there, you know, like 2,500 or so years, and they projected forward to a date when December 21st would be the new year, as it was back then. But they picked a time when the Milky Way would be directly above the zenith of the sun on the 21st of December, and the dark trough of the Milky Way was referred to as the womb of the Milky Way by the Mayans. Now, this is all real astronomy, but
mm-hmm.
this is what they call things, okay? So they picked a date. It could have been 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, And they picked one, 2012, which seems to be absolutely amazingly over zenith at high noon. So they set that as the beginning. And now they believed in time, all kinds of time, which we'll get to in a minute. But they believed in cycling time. So they picked that date in the future and then cycled back one-fifth of the precession to 5,123 years and 128 days. And they call that the beginning of the cycle. That was 3,104 B.C., and it was August the 11th. So that was the beginning of the creation. They call these also creations. Mm-hmm. That was the beginning of their creation. And they forward 5,123 years, 128 days, to this December. So that's how they established December 21st, 2012, and that was 13 baktuns, which is each one is 440 years, and there's a lot of other parts. It's like 13.0.0.0.0, and it starts with days and years and baktuns and katuns, and it's too complicated, really, to get into all the different parts of the Maya cycle, but it ended on this date. Now, somewhere around 2006, somebody read about this. Now, a writer said something's going to happen on that date, but only one monument, all the Maya world of thousands of monuments, had this date on it. And it was at a place called Tortuguera in Guatemala. And what it said was, and it's a broken stele or monument, and it says, he shall come down and get dressed, and the rest of it sort of eroded. Well, he was referring to a minor god that would come down at that time and get dressed. Well, nobody could figure out what was going to happen, but it had to be bad, because every time you have a Y2K, remember back?
Yeah. Oh,
12 years ago, everybody was just forecasting everything in the world. Well, just since then, at the place called La Corona in Mexico, they found another monument of stelae. And this is David Stewart found this one. And it also referred to the date 13.0.0.0, which is December 21st, 2012. And it says, this king shall rule until the end of the cycle. And it wrote down 13.0.0.0. And the dynasty or the kingdom will live successfully and in peace until that time. Well, there's only two places that we have the Maya writing about the that date. One is a mystery with a guy coming down and getting dressed. The other one says good things are going to happen in the future. Now, this was like, let's say it was around 600. And that was another 1,400 years ahead. So that's pretty good period of time to project into the future. But those two dates are the only two dates that work and have ever mentioned that date.
James, let me interrupt just for a second.
Yeah.
We've got to go to a break. And when we come back, we'll get into this some more. You're listening to Mind Matters with Ajahn Boris. Stay with us. We will be back in a minute to talk more with James O'Conn about the Mayan calendar, all this to do about what's going to take place next month, the end of the Mayan calendar, the new day, whatever. We're going to find out.
525,600 minutes.
Do you suffer from allergies, food sensitivities, hormone imbalance, depression, fatigue, weight gain, burnout, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, autoimmune disorders, skin problems, anxiety,
or have stomach or gut issues, there is a solution. Keisha Ewers has over 30 years in medicine and brings the world of naturopathic medicine, Ayurveda, and her Western medical education together to form an integrative approach to solving the root cause of illness. Keisha spends more time with her patients than most doctors and really listens to their stories in order to help cure a problem rather than just treating symptoms. Give yourself the gift of good health and call Keisha today. Take care of your life and call Fern Life Center at 425-391-3376 for an appointment. For more information about Keisha and Fern Life Center, go to fernlifecenter.com, mention this ad, and get a copy of Keisha's anti-inflammatory lifestyle article for free. Most insurance plans accepted.
Information provided on the Healthy You radio show is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for the advice provided by your physician or other healthcare professional. You should not use the information from the broadcast of the radio show for diagnosing or treating a health problem, disease, or prescribing any medication or other treatment.
Meditation heals and vitalizes both mind and body. Learn this wonderful art with world-renowned meditation instructor Ajayan Boris in the Effortless Mind Meditation Classes. The Effortless Mind Meditation Classes offer a direct experience of exceptionally deep meditation, accessible to anyone. Call the Fern Life Center today, 425-391-FERN. The Effortless Mind. So easy, anyone can do it.
Ajayan's next Effortless Mind Meditation class will be held November 10th. See ajayan.com for more details.
Ahead of the talk radio curve, naturally. Alternative Talk 1150.
How do you measure a year? In daylights, in sunsets, in midnights, in cups of coffee, in inches, in miles, in laughter, in strife.
All right. Welcome back. You're listening to Mind Matters with Ajayan Boris on the Healthy You Radio Network. And Eric, thank you for that music. Now, I know that's from a musical that I should know the name of.
It's from Rent.
Rent, of course. Yes. Oh, God, my wife would
We're talking all this time measurement, and that's the musical equivalent of time measurement.
Exactly. Yeah, my wife will kill me if she heard me ask you that question. Hopefully she's not listening. Anyway, she's a big musical fan, and her whole family is, so I'm still catching up. But anyway, so if you can't tune in every Monday at 1 p.m., you can access all of our shows 24/7 via podcast or archived on healthyyouradio.com or ajayan.com. And if you're out of range, you can listen live online via healthyyouradio.com. All right, so we are talking with James O'Conn, who is truly an expert on Mayan technology. And, you know, I don't say that lightly. I'm kind of a, honestly, this is a little secret about me. I'm a cynic. You know, I interview all these folks on sort of cutting edge in, topics and such. But really deep down, I'm kind of cynical. And maybe that's why I like to interview and get the answers, you know. But so I don't just accept you know, expertise on its face value. And James truly is an expert. He's been studying Mayan technology for decades and decades, and he's made amazing discoveries. He's really one of the foremost experts in the world on Mayan technology. So we're really lucky to have him talking with us here about this topic, which, you know, there's a lot of sort of speculation about. What is this end of the Mayan calendar and such that's happening next month? So anyway, before the break, James, you were mentioning that it's actually only been found, this date has only been found on two of the Mayan structures that are existing today. And that raises the question for me, if they were so obsessed by astronomy and studying this, and they were remarkable to be able to calculate this, these sort of stages in the wobbling of the Earth, that 25,800 year cycle, and they broke them into five pieces, you could say.
Right.
Why is it that they only recorded that in two spots? Why not all over the place?
Well, it may be all over the place. There's actually, I didn't even mention, but behind a brick, they found that the number is 13.0.0.0 mm-hmm. behind a brick at a place called Calmo Mucho. And it was just written there by some brick mason, you know, 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And but that was just found this year, but it didn't have a message. It was just a date.
Hmm.
Like you would write down January 1st, 2000 as the turn of a millennium. So it has been found in three places. But one of the confusing things is recently, I'm only going the last 3 months, at a place called Shatun, they found the second calendar. Now, these are dates I'm talking about with the 13.0.0.0.
Mm-hmm.
But calendars, only one calendar, my calendar, has ever been located, and that was in one of the books that survived the Spanish burning of all their books,
mm-hmm.
and it's in the Dresden Codex, which was badly damaged during the Second World War in Dresden, Germany. But it has a calendar with all the parts, and just like we have one of our calendars with month pages for months and stuff like that, and years, and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And they found another one at this place called Shatun, and it had 17 Maktouns, not 13. And so I started people talking, well, was 13 right? Did everybody use the same calendar? Because as you may recall in your history, before the Gregorian calendar came in, everybody had a calendar. And we know the Jewish faith has got a calendar of its own. We know the Muslims have a calendar of their own. The Chinese have a calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And we have what we call the Gregorian calendar. And we've matched that up with the Maya. And it doesn't matter if it's 13 Baktuns or 17, which is another 1,320 years, give or take. These are coming off the top of my head, so you got to, if I'm off by a couple of years, don't call me up.
Okay.
Anyway, that was found just recently in a unbelievably intact room. It seems to be a workshop or a studio for astronomers back in about 650 at a place called Shatun. So anyway, there's straight stuff and confusion. But one thing about the Maya themselves, they don't use this calendar anymore. They use the same calendar that everybody uses because, I mean, it's a great calendar if you're back, before the collapse of the Maya around 900 or 910. But after that, everybody started around the world started using the same calendar. So they use it in the Yucatan, in Mexico and Guatemala and Belize and the other countries that have Maya folks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really upset because the governments are making all this money. The Mexican, Honduran, and Guatemalan governments, I don't know about the Belizean, expect 50 million people to flock to their countries at the end of December.
Oh.
And some people are starting bicycle tours and winding up in certain places, and they're calculating what is the best place to die, or what is the best place to live. I mean, everybody in the archaeological community thinks this is a turning over of the clock.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people that are predicting gloom and doom. And the Mayas say they think there'll be a change, but it'll be a change in their family, a change in your success, a change in your happiness, all things that are just basically the human condition and not flipping of the earth pole. By the way, I do, if you open my computer right now, I would find at least four NASA bulletins. I get four to six a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm keyed in on the rogue planets, the meteorites and asteroids that may be coming our way.
Mm-hmm.
I have U.S. Coastal and Geodetic data I get every day. By the way, as a structural engineer, I've been an earthquake expert for all my life, designing buildings against earthquakes. And there hasn't been any particular outbreak of big earthquake. So they did have one in New Jersey today. It's only 2 on the Richter scale, which is not a big one, but with all their other problems, they don't need even to be scared by an earthquake. Mm-hmm. And that probably set off a bunch of hysteria about, you know, oh, this is it, this is the end. But I haven't seen, and I can't, and none of my fellow, I'm going to call myself scientists or geologists or NASA folk, have seen anything out of the ordinary that would indicate there was going to be some kind of a big breakout on the 21st.
Right. So, James,
and I tell people, yes, go ahead.
Okay, so this raises a few questions. First off, this turning of the clock, as you say, that's indicated by this date that's coming up. It's as far as you can tell from the actual, records that the Mayans left, the significance is simply like, say, the starting of a new year, you might say, only on a much bigger scale than annual, correct?
Right, like Y2K.
Uh-huh. Okay, so it's the start of it's the end of one period of time and the start of another. It's not the end of all time, or is there any indication of? Well, you said that they did indicate there'd be some changes. Were those changes going to be positive or negative?
Well, they're positive. Mm-hmm. The one of the two inscriptions that have been interpreted. Mm-hmm. Is very positive. It's a message of hope. The other one is ambivalent. He's coming down and gets dressed. Well, you could say, hey, there's going to be a big party because it's New Year's, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's coming down to get dressed. So that would be good. And the Maya themselves think it's a time of change, like the age of Aquarius. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the age of Aquarius. It was predicted by the hippies 30 years ago.
Right.
I can't tell you because I went to graduate school in Greenwich Village in New York during that time, and it was a wonderful time to be young and insane, I must tell you.
true.
So anyway, we haven't, from the experts, we haven't seen anything that is negative or any portention of a collision with a dark planet or an asteroid. The Earth does flip. Honest to God, it happens about every half million years, and we're about 200,000 years off from that. So I sort of, we do have melting polar ice, but that's not going to do the job.
When you say the Earth does, did you say flip? I didn't quite understand.
Yeah, it does change its poles about every half million years.
Now, what does that mean exactly when you say change poles? What does that look like?
What happens, there's a... imbalance in either in the bulge or the ice or something, because and the Earth will slowly, this is not sudden,
mm-hmm.
will slowly start shifting because of its change in weight, and eventually it'll flip around so the North Pole is the South Pole. That happens every half million years,
huh?
And that's something we all should know about. I mean, I remember learning it in high school. That was such things. And that was when I was in college, some guy came up with the idea of continental drift, tectonic plates. And I said, you're crazy. Well, my granddaughter, who's 9, thinks that people have always believed that. Like
right.
The Earth being round, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's something that's a part of, the Earth's history. It has flipped. And that doesn't mean it's going to be a disaster. That means... if you're in high ground, you're okay. But, look what happened with Sandy, with all the people who built their houses right on the beaches without seawalls and without dunes and the other things. I detect you're in California or out west somewhere.
Well, yep, in Washington State.
Uh-huh. Right. So here, y'all have tsunamis now and then. But here in Georgia and along the Gulf Coast, periodically see horrible storms strike and cause a lot of problems, but people have taken precaution. They build their houses up so the first floor is way above the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They've got sea walls. They maintain their dunes to 12, 14 feet high with a lot of grass on top, sea grass and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So We don't have any indication of pole switching at this time. So I just brought that up because that's one of the possible fatalistic things that the people who are believing that something bad is going to happen on the 21st of December. That's one of the things. Volcanoes, Earth shift, striking with an asteroid, the dark planet.
Yes.
Nobody in the science field has seen any evidence of that. And the Maya thing is going to be a change in family life and personal life to the good. So I picked that up on Smithsonian, not Smithsonian, I'm sorry, National Geographic had a story on it.
Okay. Well, I'd like to hear a little more details about if you know what the predictions of good are. But first, we need to go to a break. So you're listening to Mind Matters with Ajay and Boris. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute to talk more with James O'Conn about this whole issue of the end of the Mayan calendar. I don't know why they call it the end of the Mayan calendar. I'm going to have to ask you that too, James. All right, stay tuned.
Do you suffer from pain? Pain comes in many forms, from muscle aches and pains to nerve pain. It's painful not to have the energy you want, or to suffer from allergic reactions to food, the environment, or your pets. An innovative technology that is being used at Harvard Medical School could be your answer. The Aura PTL laser system is like acupuncture with no needles. It works on the energy body and the physical body, bringing relief from pain, hormone imbalance, adrenal fatigue, and even allergies of all kinds. Combined with homeopathy, this non-invasive therapy brings healing on all the levels of your body. To find out more about laser therapy, go to fernlifecenter.com or call 425-391-3376. That's 425-391-3376. Your consultation with Keisha Ewers, ARNP, is covered by most insurance companies. Call now.
Imagine your physician prescribed you soothing, synchronized warm oil massages from two therapists, individualized herbalized steam treatments and herbal packs,
Shirodhara,
chakra balancing meditations, and much more. This tension easing treatment that relieves anxiety, ringing in the ears, autoimmunity, stress-induced issues, and insomnia can be found at Fern Life Center. Call today and experience what the people of India have utilized to stay young and vibrant since 5,000 years ago. The Panchakarma Therapy Program at the Fern Life Center cleanses your body, mind, and spirit to achieve perfect health through the ancient Eastern medical wisdom of Ayurveda. Prepare your body for the change of seasons and melt away hidden stress with the Panchakarma treatment from Fern Life Center. Call 425-391-FERN or visit us in Issaquah to schedule your appointment with Keisha Ewers for your first consultation. You can find out more information online at fernlifecenter.com. Fern Life Center's Panchakarma Therapy. Detox, relax, and heal. Mention this ad and get a free detoxifying steam treatment with any regular massage. Insurance plans do not cover Panchakarma treatments, but usually cover the office visits with our medical providers. Again, call Fern Life Center at 425-391-3376 to schedule an appointment for this incredible anti-aging program.
If you are tired of feeling sluggish, overweight, and out of balance, then welcome to the Ideal Protein Weight Loss Method. The Fern Life Center now offers this medically designed protocol that results in fat loss while sparing muscle mass. The Ideal Protein Weight Loss Method is an easy four-phase protocol that helps stabilize the pancreas, hormones, and blood sugar levels while burning fat and maintaining muscle, not to mention an excellent support for cellulite reduction. The best part? We guarantee success. Welcome to your last diet. Call the Fern Life Center now and register for our next free introductory seminar. That's right, free. Call 425-391-3376. 3376 or go to fernlifecenter.com. Mention this ad and qualify for a drawing to receive your first product free. Call 425-391-3376 and find your healthy you.
Time for something different. Time for Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back. You're listening to Mind Matters. I am J.M. Boris, and we are speaking with James O'Conn. He is the author of The Lost Secrets of Maya Technology, and I highly recommend this book. This is, if you're interested in this kind of thing, ancient civilizations, and especially their science, he's the guy to read about the Mayans. He's himself a scientist, an engineer, and he's researched Mayan technology for 40-some years. He writes really solid, stuff about the Mayans. So it's not, speculative. And all that. It's really solid research, archaeological finds, some of which he himself has been very much involved with. So check it out, The Lost Secrets of Maya Technology. So, James, let's see. So, as we were talking about before, this the so-called end of the Mayan calendar that's coming next month is actually like one step. It's sort of like, as I think of it, it's kind of like the end of our calendar. It doesn't mean it's the end of time. It just means then you go out and buy a new calendar. And it starts again, right? Okay. So here in this case, it's a 25,800-year cycle based on the time it takes for the wobble of the Earth to make one complete cycle. And the Mayans, arbitrarily, it seems, at least we're not sure why, divided that 25,800-year cycle into five segments.
Segments, exactly. Right.
Okay, and so those are 5,123 years and 128 days each of those five segments. Okay, so one of those is coming to a close next month, which is really significant, kind of astronomically. And then we have information about this popping up in two or three different places that we have found. There's probably more that we haven't found, and probably much more in the books the Mayans left, which were destroyed by the Spanish. Okay, so I'm just kind of summarizing this for people maybe just joining us. So there's no evidence in anything we've found from the Mayans about this being, something disastrous. And in fact, you were telling me that there's evidence to the contrary that good things are supposed to happen, and I wondered if you could elaborate any on what they've found described by the Mayans as far as those good things.
Well, there's two of the dates with messages that were on the stelae. The stelae could be like a battlefield marker in the middle of a plaza, 6, 8, 10 feet high, with carvings of the kings with messages on them, or they could be on the side of a building, a carved. Mm-hmm. They were unbelievable artists. You've seen all that stuff. So they've only looked, until recently, like within 3 months ago, there was only one date located, and a bunch of people took it and ran with it, started cults about this is the end of this time period. This would be, and it took the end of the time period as the end of time and said there would be no time, you run out of time. But, the Maya believed that time lasted on infinitum. There's a number, which could be days or years, because they didn't specify, on a stelae or a monument in Coba in Yucatan, that if you can imagine this number, it's like 41.9 with 30 zeros behind it. That's a huge number. In fact, we don't have, well, we do. I happen to know the name of that number, but we never work in numbers that large. And the Western world, I'm talking about Europe, mm-hmm. never used numbers over 2,000 or 1,000 until Isaac Newton developed calculus and started doing all kinds of astronomical analysis with calculus. Hmm. So they didn't have any reason to use big numbers. Mm-hmm. Some of the Mayas, as they were transfixed and obsessed with time, which was all associated with the stars and the planets and all the cosmic orbs, understood there was, they believed in past time, present time, and future. And they were undifferentiated. They believed in linear time like we do, like from now until tomorrow is 24 hours at mm-hmm. time. And they also believed in cyclic time, as in like history repeating itself. They could go back in time and pick a date that would be portentous by some technique, and then cycle forward into the future time, but positive times, there was negative. Remember, they invented the, well, maybe you don't know this, they invented the number zero. So they knew about negative numbers when Europe didn't even know there was a zero. Hmm. And then they cycle forward, like we talked about with the 5,123 days, mm-hmm. when it went forward and it came back and had 3,111 years B.C. Mm-hmm. Well, they believed in that. And they actually, when they visualize, this is the part that always blows my mind, they visualize a time. They thought of it in terms of the three spatial dimensions. That's X, Y, and Z, like you learned in algebra or trigonometry. Uh-huh. And T as time, four dimensions. And how you've heard many times about that, the closest thing we have to it is our space-time continuum in modern physics. And that, they thought about time in those terms. So they could cycle it back or forward or carry it any way they wanted to, because they believed in time being really something that was alive.
Now, how have people, you know, modern people looking at the Mayan culture determined this? How have they figured this out, that this is what they thought about time and such?
Well, they, now remember, I got the Maya culture, the civilization, the culture has always been there. They were there when the conquistadors came. Mm-hmm. But the conquistadors came 600 years after the civilization failed and they abandoned the cities. Mm-hmm. That's, we go back to that time to read the monuments and find the books that which survived. Now, between the monuments and the books, archaeologists have been able to decipher their concept of time and space. So it's that's how it was done. And I'm only reading the research. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of busy with the technology. I haven't got into epigraphy. That's reading the hieroglyphics or getting into this time stuff. But stuff they've done has just fascinated me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now, speaking of time, you just said that the culture pretty much had met its demise about 600 years before the Spaniards arrived on the scene.
Is exactly. That,
okay. And it's had started, their culture had started when?
Around 2000 BC. Mm-hmm. That's when the archaeologists figured they might as well make a line in the sand in time. Mm-hmm. Before that, they actually existed and had been working with agronomy. They developed corn, maize, from a native plant. The plant looks nothing like an ear of corn, but they did. They were unbelievable agronomists. Hmm. They could change. Well, that's where you got our corn, our tomatoes, our beans, our squash. I could go on and on and on and on. 60% of the food that the world eats today was invented by the Maya.
Really?
Invented in a way that is agronomy and agricultural sciences. That's my next book, by the way.
Well, we're gonna need them back again to recover from these GMOs, I think, at some point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so, wow, what an amazing culture. And that goes back, you said, to about 2000 B.C. At least that's what modern historians kind of figure.
It's not at least that far.
Okay.
Maybe farther.
And then, so where did they come from before that?
They came down from the area of Siberia across from Alaska, crossing the frozen area of what's called the Bering Land Bridge during the Ice Age,
mm-hmm.
and worked their way south all the way down to the Yucatan Peninsula. And as I say in my book, they looked around, made their camp, liked what they saw, and decided to stay.
Hmm.
And they're still there.
So is this like one of many what we now call Native American sort of tribes or whatever that came down, or is it all just one people that came down and sort of scattered, or is this a unique culture that came through, you know, came that distance through the Bering Strait or whatever?
Everybody came down
through
the same chute.
Mm-hmm.
Some spread out in North America and became North American Indians, you know, the Sioux and the Chiricahua, and some went on down through the Middle American Peninsula, down through Panama and Costa Rica and into Colombia,
mm-hmm.
and they became the South American Indians, because they all looked a little different. But the Maya liked what they found in the Yucatan, and it's very interesting, because they didn't have an empire. Had 50 independent city-states, and that's one reason they lasted so long. They all relied on each other for culture and for trading and for business.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some wars and stuff like that. But for 3,000 years, having a domain that's relatively peaceful, that's amazing. Anyway, they did, and they worked on it between the astronomy and their fascination with time. They became unbelievably adept at sciences like mathematics, astronomy, the calendar, and one of the five written languages in the world, one of the five originals. And they did all this in the isolation of, we're getting back to the guy, isolation of the Yucatan, because there were other tribes, you want to call them those, or cultures, but they were way behind, except for the Olmecs, which were in the just north of them, but they failed around 600 B.C. So they gave them some notions of, like, writing and some of the calendars, but the Maya, with their agronomy and their sciences and their technology, they invented cement, how to make the powder we call cement, and we mix the water and aggregate to make a castle-based concrete. They invented that 300 years B.C., and It was not patented in Europe until 1851.
Hmm.
I mean, that's your 2,100-year difference right there.
Yeah.
When John Castlewood discovered these cities that were abandoned, 1,000 years before by the Maya, discovered them. Well, he didn't discover them; they were always there. I mean, he rediscovered them.
Mm-hmm.
That was only 1839 or 40. I mean, and a lot of the things which they developed hadn't even been invented yet, like cement.
Right.
Like vulcanizing rubber. A lot of things like that.
Wow.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. And James, I want to get into that a little bit more right after our next break. That'll be the last thing we'll touch on. You're listening to Mind Matters. Stay with us. We're talking with James O'Conn about a really amazing technology of the Mayans.
Hallelujah, when I lay my burden down. Glory, glory.
These are challenging times. Sometimes it's hard to remember there's good news out there amidst all the bad news. Sometimes it's hard to remember you're not alone. Keisha Ewers is not only a medical provider, but also an angel therapist and medical intuitive. She's here to get you in touch with your angels and help you connect to your higher self. You are not alone, and you always have the answers within you. You just need to remember how to hear them. Keisha believes everyone is psychic. It's just that some people exercise their intuitive muscles more than others. Learn how to develop your own intuition and psychic abilities. Have you hit bottom, can't seem to find your way out? Find peace in the middle of chaos. Create abundance in a world that is preaching scarcity. Keisha's next Connecting to Your Angels class levels 1 and 2 will be held at Fern Life Center Yurt on November 10th and 11th. Your tuition cost of $350 includes a textbook, your own set of angel cards, and lunch. Spend a weekend taking charge of your life and flexing your intuitive muscles. Call Fern Life Center at 425-391-3376 to register for this life-transforming weekend of power and bliss.
Research shows that over 90% of health issues can be attributed to stress. Not every illness requires pills, supplements, or other costly interventions. Reiki is a Japanese healing technique that calms and relaxes the entire nervous system, working on mental, physical, and spiritual levels. Our Reiki masters at Fern Life Center have been especially trained to individualize your care to suit your unique life concerns. Contact Fern Life Center at 425-391-3376. That's 425-391-3376 to begin your journey to a stress-free life and take charge of your health today. Fern Life Center also offers Reiki training programs from levels 1 through master level. As a certified Reiki master, you too can offer this beautiful healing modality to others or begin a training program of your own if you have always wanted to be a healer. Go to fernlifecenter.com for more information or call today.
Meditation heals and vitalizes both mind and body. Learn this wonderful art with world-renowned meditation instructor Ajayan Boris in the Effortless Mind Meditation Classes. The Effortless Mind Meditation Classes offer a direct experience of exceptionally deep meditation, accessible to anyone. Call the Fern Life Center today, 425-391-FERN. The Effortless Mind. So easy, anyone can do it.
Ajayan's next Effortless Mind Meditation class will be held November 10th. See ajayan.com for more details.
Get a grip on life with Alternative Talk 1150.
I was standing by my window on a cold and a cloudy day.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Mind Matters. I'm Ajayan Boris, and we are talking with James O'Conn, the author of The Lost Secrets of Maya Technology. Check it out. I'm sure you can get this on Amazon.com, books, Barnes & Noble, wherever. Okay.
And my website is theoldexplorer.com.
Theoldexplorer.com. Okay, cool. All right, so James, was there anything else for those who, you know, are still concerned about this date, the so-called end of the Mayan calendar coming up next month? And it's the 21st, is it? Or is that the beginning? Is it the 20th that's the end and the 21st starts the new? Or is it?
No, it's sometime during the day of the 21st.
Okay.
And we don't know what the Maya used as parts of days, minutes, hours, stuff like that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we will eventually.
Okay, so sometime.
So it's during the day, it'll probably be noon, and according to all the experts that watch out for the space and the sky and the water and the earthquakes, there's nothing portentous on the horizon. And I have told people that are concerned that the only thing they have to worry about on that morning of the 21st is only a four more shopping days of Christmas.
Right.
And people, no matter who they are, get a laugh out of that.
Yes,
right?
For sure.
It's a joke, but it's only do that. I only do that just to tell you, don't be afraid.
Yeah. Right.
What are you supposed to do anyway?
Right. Okay, cool. So, James, we only have like a minute left. So keep your answer to this minute. I'm just curious your thoughts on how the Mayans developed this amazing, this amazing culture and knowledge they have, because it's not only their astronomy and all of that, their sophisticated language and mathematical concepts, but also they got translated into hard technology. They built the longest suspension bridge in the world at that time. They invented cement and, like you said, all this other stuff that didn't come around for a couple thousand years later in Western culture. How did they do this?
They were obsessed with the cosmos, and that obsession drove them to count stars, to name stars, to do things that generated mathematics and astronomy and the written books, one of the five original in the world. And that motivation and that thought process in the isolation of the hotlands of the jungle spilled over into other areas and into technology. When they needed to solve a problem in technology, a high-rise building, they built it.
Uh-huh.
The longest bridge in the ancient world, they built it. Roads that went hundreds of miles straight to the jungle, elevated, they did it.
All right, James, thank you so much. James O'Conn, Lost Secrets of Mayan Technology. This has been Mind Matters, part of the Healthy You Radio Network.